Jnanis and yogis cannot conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only pure devotees can conquer him. Pure devotees are described as samamati, which means that they never deviate from devotional service under any circumstances. It is not that devotees worship the Supreme Lord only when happy. They worship him even when in distress. Happiness and distress do not hamper the process of devotional service. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says that devotional service is ahituki apratiyata, unmotivated and uninterrupted. When a devotee offers devotional service to the Lord without any motive, anya abhilashita sunyam, his service cannot be hampered by any material condition, apratihata. Thus, a devotee who offers service in all conditions of life can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A special distinction between devotees and the other transcendentalists, namely the jnanis and yogis, is that jnanis and yogis artificially try to become one with the Supreme, whereas the devotees never aspire for such an impossible accomplishment. Devotees know that their position is to be eternally servants of the Supreme Lord and never to be one with him. Therefore, they are called samamati or jitatma. They detest oneness with the Supreme. They have no lusty desires for oneness. Instead, the desire is to be freed from all material hankering. Therefore, they are called nishkam, desireless. A living entity cannot exist without desires, but desires that can never be fulfilled are called kama, lusty desires. Kama istaistair rita gnana. Because of lusty desires, non-devotees are deprived of their intelligence. Thus, they are unable to conquer the Supreme Lord, whereas devotees, being freed from such unreasonable desires, can conquer the Lord. Such devotees are also conquered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are pure, being free from all material desires, they fully surrender to the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Lord conquers them. Such devotees never aspire for liberation. They simply desire to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Because they serve the Lord without desires for remuneration, they can conquer the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is by nature very merciful, and when he sees that his servant is working without desires for material profit, naturally he is conquered. Devotees are always engaged in service. Savai manasa manha krishna padarvindayor vacham sivaikunta gunanu varnane. All the activities of their senses are engaged in the service of the Lord. Because of such devotion, the Lord gives himself to his devotees as if they could use him for any purpose they might desire. Of course, devotees have no purpose other than to serve. When a devotee fully surrenders and has no aspiration for material profit, the Lord certainly gives him all opportunities for service. This is the position of the Lord when conquered by his devotees.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmahe Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagunaragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahaganalalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarobhyesha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So we are hearing a beautiful pastime, and Maharaj Chitraketu meets the Lord. And so here we see Maharaj Chitraketu has already had a darshan of the Lord. He is offering the prayers. This is the beginning of his prayers. And in the opening prayers itself, Maharaj Chitraketu is speaking about two paradoxes here. The first paradox is, unconquerable Lord, unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, the Lord cannot be conquered by anyone, but he is still conquered by the devotees who have control of the mind and senses. So this is the first paradox we hear, that Lord is not conquered by anyone, but still he is conquered by his devotees. And the second paradox is that the Lord controls everyone. Everyone is under. So Lord is a controller of everyone, but the devotees keep you under their control. So even though Lord is the controller, he is controlled by the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada expands upon these two paradoxes and explains how the unconquerable Lord, who cannot be conquered, is conquered by his devotees. And the second, he mentions how Lord himself allows his devotees to be controlled, even though he controls everything. So we know from Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami, as we sang in the prayers, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamyam Dadati Sva Padan Tikam. So Rupa Goswami, who could understand the Manobhishtam, who could understand the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wrote Nectar of Instruction after hearing. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on the banks of Ganges after his bath, he came out and he was speaking the verses, and Rupa Goswami wrote down, and that book is known as Nectar of Instructions, which is Bhakti Ubdesamrita. So these are the instructions which are coming from the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and written by Rupa Goswami, where he says, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udharo Pasata Vegam, Etan Vegam, Yo Viseheta Dhira, Sarvam Api Mam Prithvimsa Shishyat. So here there is an interesting, in the translation it is mentioned, you cannot be conquered by anyone, but certainly you are conquered by devotees who have control of mind and senses. So what is required to conquer the Lord? Control of mind and senses. But again, we know even the yogis can control the mind and senses. Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, right? In 6th chapter, he mentions the yogis can control the mind and senses. He gives the process of Ashtanga Yoga. So can the yogis also control the Lord or conquer the Lord? Or the gnanis who have controlled their mind and senses, can they conquer the Lord? And Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful purport where he says, no, the gnanis and yogis cannot do that. Why? Because one has to be a devotee as well. Only then Lord himself allows the devotee to be under their control. So the two things requires, one needs to have control of the mind and senses. At the same time, you have to be devotee. So further, it is mentioned in the verse, they can keep you under their control because you are causelessly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. So in the verse, Maharaj Chitraketu is mentioning, when that stage comes, and Srila Prabhupada is giving a verse, Anya Abhilashita Sunyam Gnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulyana Krishnanu Silanam Bhaktir Uttama. So when that Uttama Bhakti arises in a devotee, where he does not desire for any material profit, and the material profit can be in different ways. One may not need money, wealth, or health or something, but one may need adoration. One may need siddhis, so those can be also material because they are all material. They finish with your life. So when there is no desire for material profit, only then the Lord shows causeless mercy to the devotee and allows the devotee to control him. So we see these days, again, to understand how can we control something which is under our control. So we see we have got remote control cars, or we have got cars, robots, which we can control. But can those things control us? How do we understand that? How can a robot control us? How can a car control us? But we see it is possible. It is possible these days. The things which are made by humans are controlling the humans. And the example is given, I was just going through, looking at how can a robot control a man or something like that. And I found there was a man who married a robot in China, which he had created. So now we can understand the people. And there was another person who married a head of the Monikin. So we see people are marrying artificial things which they have created. So what is it that puts one under the control of other thing, even though it is a non-living thing? It's an attachment. And Srila Prabhupada makes a beautiful point here. When we are attached to something, we come under the control of that thing, even though it is a non-living entity, even though it might be a car. So, and we gave an example last time that somebody has got a car which he is very much attached to, and then there is a scratch on the car and he feels the pain even though there is nothing, he hasn't been damaged or he hasn't been in the accident, but still if there is a scratch on the car, he feels the pain for the car because he's so much attached to the car. So things can control human emotions or humans because of that attachment. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point lust. But here we see the Lord is saying, and Prabhupada puts in, begins the purport, the Lord and devotees both conquer. And we know when somebody conquers, a king conquers another king or a country or a person, that other person is under the control of that king who has conquered. We know Napoleon and Alexander the Great, they conquered so many countries, so all those countries were under their control. So how can the other, both can be the conqueror? It's not possible. But here, Lord himself is saying, Aham bhakta paradhino e asvatantra ivadvija. So this comes from the pastime when Durvasa Muni cursed or got angry on Amrish Maharaj. And then he created this demon to kill Amrish Maharaj for a very small offense. It was not even an offense. It was just that Amrish Maharaj was fasting and he took some water to break the fast when Durvasa Muni had gone for bathing. And Durvasa Muni came to know that he has already taken water without even feeding me or without welcoming the guests. So then he got angry and cursed or created a demon to kill Amrish Maharaj. And immediately, because Amrish Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra manifested and killed the demon. And that Sudarshan Chakra was chasing after Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni is running. The heat of the Sudarshan Chakra is trying to kill Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni, who is a powerful yogi, is running throughout the universe. He goes to different people, Brahma, Shiva, and Lord Vishnu himself. He comes and says, please take away your Sudarshan Chakra. It is killing me. And Lord Vishnu says, it is not under my control. Aham bhakta paradino. I am controlled by my devotees. I cannot control this. If you want this to go away, you have to beg forgiveness to my pure devotee Amrish Maharaj. Because aham bhakta paradino hi asvatantra ivadvija. I am not independent. I am, what to speak of my devotee, those who are devotee of my devotee, they are also dear to me. So the Lord agrees to be under the control of his devotee. So this is the nature of bhakti. Bhakti is superior, and in third canto, Kapila Muni explains Sankhya Yoga, and he begins explaining Sankhya Yoga by speaking speaking about the different kinds of bhakti, and he says bhakti is superior to even mukti. Mukti, and he and Srila Prabhupada gives an example of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who offers prayers, saying that mukti stands with folded hands in front of a person who has got bhakti, and asks for, what can I do? How can I help you? So Bilwa Mangal Thakur says that mukti is standing in front of me, offering obeisances and asking me, well, how can I serve you? So this is the nature of bhakti. Bhakti has got six characteristics, as we know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So the first characteristics of bhakti is kleshagni. It destroys it removes the distress from the life of a devotee. And then subhadha, auspiciousness manifests in the life of a devotee. And these two things happen right in the beginning of the process. As soon as one starts the process of bhakti, and Nectar of Instruction, it is mentioned, as soon as one starts to chant, and Srila Prabhupada gives mentioned in the purport, that as soon as one chants the Maha Mantra even once, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the Lord, in fact, becomes, takes charge of that devotee. So as soon as the devotee begins, maybe somebody can close the door, I can hear my own voice coming from the door. So, as soon as a devotee starts to chant the holy names, he begins the process of bhakti. He is a devotee. He should be considered a devotee. Nectar of Instruction mentions that such a person should be considered a devotee. And one who is initiated is a Madhyam Adhikari. And then one who is a sannyasi or a Uttama Bhakta is one who is completely surrendered, should be considered Uttama Bhakta. So there are different characteristics. So kleshagni and subhadha manifest in a devotee right at the beginning. And then the nature of bhakti is one, when one advances, it is sudurlabha. It is very rare. It is not easily attainable. And when such a bhakti arises, what happens? Moksha lagukrit. One does not even desire for liberation. We know from the example of Hanumanji. So when Lord Ram was giving liberation to everyone, Hanumanji said, if liberation means that I lose my identity, then I don't want that such a kind of mukti. I rather stay in the material world, because it allows me, gives me a chance to worship you. It gives me a chance to serve you. So this is the consciousness of a devotee. He does not like impersonal liberation. So there are five kinds of muktis: Sayujya, Sarupya, Sasti, Samipya, and Salokya. So devotee does not desire for any kind of liberation which does not allow him to serve the Lord. So moksha lagu, and then bhakti, the nature of bhakti, the last two characteristics are Sandrananda Visheshatma. It gives unlimited bliss. It doesn't matter whether the devotee is in the material world or the spiritual world. As soon as the process of bhakti, one advances in bhakti, he immediately experiences unlimited bliss. He does not even desire for liberation or going to spiritual world. And that bhakti is so powerful that it attracts even Krishna, Shri Krishna Akarshani. So even Krishna is attracted to such a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the highest perfection of this mutual conquering is exhibited by Krishna and the gopis. Soon we will have Kartik month starting, so in that we sing Damodarashtakam every evening, which is a song of how Krishna becomes conquered by the love of Mother Yashoda. Initially, Krishna does not want to be captured or bound. So he is running, and Mother Yashoda is trying to catch Krishna. And then finally, when Krishna sees that Mother Yashoda is exhausted, she is trying persistently and exhausted, and Krishna automatically becomes conquered by the love of Mother Yashoda and becomes captured. And even then, when Mother Yashoda catches Krishna, she couldn't bind Krishna. All the ropes she had were two fingers short. And those two fingers represent Parishram and Kripa. So Parishram means
endeavor.
And Kripa means mercy. So without those two things, one cannot bind Krishna. And finally, eventually, Krishna was bound by the ropes of love of Mother Yashoda. So we see Yashoda is able to bind, conquer Krishna, control Krishna just by the process of endeavor, and then the mercy flows. And so we see here in the verse also, it is mentioned, you are causelessly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. So this is the Supreme Lord, who in fact not only becomes bound by the or controlled by the devotee, but in fact it is mentioned he is crying in front of Mother Yashoda. So helplessly crying, in such a way that nobody can untie him. Even Lord Balaram, when he arrived, he was not able to untie Krishna, because the Vatsalya mood by which Mother Yashoda tied Krishna, nobody could untie unless Nanda Maharaj came, and then he was able to untie, because the Vatsalya mood of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are on the same level. So only Nanda Maharaj could untie Krishna. So nobody else could untie. So this is Lord who becomes controlled by the devotee. And Srila Prabhupada also makes another point. The gopis conquer Krishna and Krishna conquered the gopis. Thus, whenever Krishna played his flute, he conquered the minds of the gopis. So this is another instance where in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, it is the song of the flute, Venu Gita. The gopis are hearing the flute of Krishna. And so when Krishna, Balaram and the gopas go into the forest, Krishna begins to play his flute. At that point, the gopis hear the flute and they completely become mesmerized. And they are saying, we envy this flute, that the flute is able to stay along with Krishna and so close to Krishna that we always desire for. And when Krishna plays his flute, in that chapter it is mentioned, all the immovable things become movable, and the movable things become immovable. It is mentioned the river which is flowing stops its flow and catches hold of the feet of Krishna. The birds who are flying in the air, they stop flapping their wings and fall down because they are not able to hear. As soon as they hear the song, the sweet sound of the flute, they stop flapping. The cows who are eating grass, they've got grass in them, they become stunned, their ears stand on end and they become stunned. The calves who are drinking the milk is still in the mouth of the calf and they become completely stunned. The butterflies and all the insects, they become completely mesmerized, they stop their activity. So this is the condition when Krishna is playing his flute. So Srila Prabhupada is making this point, whenever Krishna played his flute, he conquered the minds of the gopis, and not only gopis, entire Vrindavan was completely stunned. So in that chapter it is mentioned, everyone that is movable becomes immovable, and that everything that is immovable becomes movable. They want to see Krishna, hear Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada further makes the point that other transcendentalists such as jnanis and yogis cannot conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only pure devotees can conquer him. And so it is not possible for jnanis and yogis to meditate for years, but they are not able to conquer Krishna. What is the verse from Brahma Samhita? Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav Govinda Madhipurusham tamham bhajami. And so by studying the Vedas, one cannot conquer Krishna, or one cannot even understand Krishna. But it is adurlabham atma bhaktav. But for a devotee, it is easy to understand Krishna. And there is another pastime in Bhagavatam. When Krishna was hungry once, Krishna and the cowherd boyfriends are going in the forest. And all the cowherd boyfriends are hungry and Krishna is hungry. So when the sakhas understand that Krishna, we are hungry because Krishna would be hungry as well. So they tell Krishna that please arrange for some prasadam. Today we have not brought, usually every day, Acharya makes the point, every day all the sakhas and Krishna bring prasadam from home. But this day, for some reason, everybody, and after this pastime, there is a pastime of, anybody remembers? Indra Yagna. Indra, the sacrifice for Indra. So everybody was busy in that, so that day, the Krishna and the Sakhas couldn't bring prasadam. And then the Sakhas are a bit hungry, and they're telling Krishna, Krishna, we are hungry, arrange for some prasadam. So Krishna, now this pastime is taking place in the village called Bhadral, which is on the Parikrama Marg. If anybody has gone to Vrindavan and the back of Yamuna, when you come back from Vrindavan Parikrama, after Yamuna just finishes, it's still on the path of Yamuna, but at the back of Vrindavan, there is a village called Bhadral, so which is a junction between Vrindavan and Mathura. And so this is a village which is on the junction between Vrindavan and Mathura. So in that forest, Krishna is telling the boys, there is this village here, and there are all these brahmanas who are performing a yagna. So why don't you go and ask them for prasadam? They will give you, they've got a lot of bhoga to be offered. They will give you the bhoga. So the boys went and saw that the brahmanas were doing offerings and yagna, and they're all properly dressed up. Brahmanas, they're chanting all the mantras from the Vedas. So the boys just went that Krishna and Balram have come on the outskirts of the village and they are hungry. So please, can you give us some food? And actually Krishna told, mention Balram's name first, not mine. So the boys went and said, Balram and Krishna are hungry, so please, you have got so much of offering for the Lord, why don't you give some for us boys and Balram and Krishna. So the brahmanas, when they heard this, imagine when the offering is going on and some kid comes and says, can I have some pakoras from the altar? The pujari will be a bit annoyed, right? So, of course, here we have devotees, so that's a different situation. But there, the brahmanas were puffed up. They were puffed up of their jnana, their knowledge. And they said, what are these boys who are not even properly dressed doing in this sacrifice? So they didn't even pay attention to what the boys were saying. And then the boys who are, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam as well as by the Acharyas, that these boys were not ordinary boys. They are the sakhas of the Lord. And when you are sakhas of the Lord, even though you have never been to school, you know all the Vedas. So they are giving different references from the Vedas. If somebody who is hungry comes to your door, your duty is first to, as a grihastha, is to first offer something to the person who is hungry. So they're giving different, and we are just boys. So you should at least look after us. So they're giving different references from the Vedas, why the brahmanas should feed. And these brahmanas are thinking, these boys are wasting our time. And they just ignored the boys. And then the boys come back to Krishna and Balram and tell Krishna and Balram, no luck. These brahmanas did not even hear our plea. They did not even notice that we were there. So then Krishna said, okay, don't worry, we'll give another chance. You go to their wives. The wives will give you the bhoga. And this time tell Krishna and Balram have come. Don't tell Balram and Krishna, tell Krishna and Balram, give my name. So these boys were first thinking, why is Krishna, if the husbands are not given, in the Vedic time the wife would never go against the husband. So why would their wives give us? We will have the same treatment. So they were not, they were reluctant to go. But Krishna said, no, you just go, don't worry. They are my devotees and they will give you. So as soon as the boys went and told the wives of the Brahmanas that Krishna has come on the outskirts and he is hungry, the wives, as soon as they heard the name Krishna, they immediately stood, took all the bhoga which was meant for the sacrifice and ran to towards where the Krishna was. And it is the acharyas point out that there was two things which allowed these wives not to have a second thought. The first thing was they had heard about Krishna from the people who were traveling. In the Vedic times, there used to be a community of vegetable sellers and the people who keep on traveling from village to village. And these wives of the Brahmanas had never heard about, never seen Krishna, but they had only heard about the glories of Krishna, how Krishna wonderfully killed so many asuras, how Krishna plays, how Krishna steals the butter. So they had heard. And that hearing process invoked the devotion within the heart of the patnis or Brahmana patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas. So that was the first. They heard regularly about Krishna's activities. And the second thing which invoked spontaneous devotion is they're constantly meditating on Krishna and his pastime. So just hearing is not enough. Regular hearing, of course, Nityam Bhagavat Seva is good, but then we meditate on Krishna's pastimes. And so these two things invoke spontaneous devotion. So as soon as they heard from the boys that Krishna is standing and he is hungry, they did not have any other thought. They just picked up everything and they rushed towards Krishna. And even though they were stopped by their husband, it was like when the husbands ignored the boys, the same reaction was of the wives. They ignored the husbands as if they never existed. And they ran towards Krishna, offered everything to Krishna, and then they said, now we cannot go back to our husband. Because in the Vedic times, when a wife leaves the house without the permission of a husband or against the husband's permission, then she's not allowed to come back. So she said, now we have completely given up our all duties. We have surrendered to you. But Krishna said, no, don't worry. You go back because it is a duty of a grahastha to look after the family. So you go back to your homes. And this is a pastime Krishna showed to glorify the devotion over the Vedas. So just by performing all the sacrifice, austerity, studying the Vedas, one can become proud. The devotion cannot invoke in the heart of such a person. But on the other hand, the Brahman patnis, they had no knowledge, but they had devotion, spontaneous devotion, just out of unmotivated, apratihata yeyatma suprasiddhati, ahituki apratihata. So without any motivation, they had heard, meditated, and they were constantly uninterrupted meditation. That brought in devotion in the heart of the Brahman patnis. So and there are other examples also in Shastra where we see Vishwamitra, who was a great yogi, but he fell down twice. He couldn't be successful because he had envy in his heart. But finally, of course, when he gave up that envy, he was able to witness. But unless a person is trying to conquer or control the Lord with his own endeavor, it is not going to be possible. Whereas on the other hand, we know the example of Haridas Thakur, who was easily able to conquer the clutches of Maya. He did not fall prey to the Maya Devi. So the power of bhakti is so strong that one can, it is more powerful than mukti. So one can become, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, pure devotees are described as samamati, which means that they never deviate from the path of devotional service under any circumstances. So this is the power of bhakti, that one does not deviate. If one is serving the Lord, if one is engaged in devotional service, and Prabhupada makes a point, one has to continue serving the Lord 24 hours a day. How can we serve the Lord 24 hours a day? We need to sleep, we need to eat, we need to do other things as well. But it is by meditation. So whatever time we have, the main point is we should always be engaged. So as long as we are always engaged and don't give room for Mayadevi to put in some kind of, as soon as we think, oh, I've got 2 hours free and I don't know what to do in this, immediately Mayadevi creeps in and we will have thought, how about watching just one movie? Because I've got 2 hours. Or how about doing something, some sense gratification. So when a person is busy enough in his devotional life and he can meditate, he can think about Krishna. If that is, one should fill his life completely with devotional service. There are so many things. And Srila Prabhupada, Savai Manasa, Mana Krishna Padarvinda Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. Srila Prabhupada is giving the example of Ambarish Maharaj again. He's saying, what did Ambarish Maharaj did? He engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord. His hand in cleansing the Lord's temple. His ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or Krishna's devotees about Krishna. Engaged his eyes in seeing the deities of Krishna going to seeing the Krishna's temples and seeing Krishna's places of pastime places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engages sense of touch in worshipping the Lord, bathing the Lord, dressing the Lord, serving the Lord. He engages sense of smell in smelling the fragrance from the of tulsi leaf from the lotus feet of the Lord. He engages tongue in tasting Lord's prasadam. He engages leg in walking to the holy places and in the temples of the Lord. He engaged his head in bowing down in front of the Lord and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service in various engagement related to the Lord. So this is the way one can engage. And finally, Srila Prabhupada makes this point. When a devotee fully surrenders and has no aspiration for material profit, the Lord certainly gives him all the opportunities for service. This is the position of the Lord when conquered by his devotees. Even to serve the Lord, we need the mercy of the Lord. It is not possible to serve the Lord without the mercy of the Lord. It's interesting. I was mentioning this before. When I got my Brahman initiation, there are devotees who are not able to do services, certain services, and I was given the service to do, which takes just after your Brahman, you can't just go into the altar and serve the Lord, right? So I was telling one of the senior devotees that I got to do this service, and the senior devotee asked me, how could you do that service? Usually it takes a long time for someone after Brahman prayer to do that service. And I told him, it is just a coincidence. The person who was going to serve, for some reason, couldn't come. And I was standing in front of Achindrupa Mataji, and then it just happened that nobody was there, and coincidentally, I was there, and I was allowed to do that service. And then that senior devotee told me, understand, there are no coincidences in spiritual life. If you have been able to do some service, it is the mercy of the devotees and the Lord. It is not coincidence. So we have to understand that Lord certainly gives him opportunities for service. It is the mercy of the Lord. Only by that we can serve the Lord. And so if we have got some service, we should not consider ourselves or should not be proud of doing that service. We should consider ourselves fortunate that Lord has allowed us to serve him. So Srila Prabhupada finishes this purport by saying, this is the position of the Lord when conquered by his devotees. And we can see when we read Krishna book or when we read Bhagavatam, we can see how the Lord, especially in Vraj Vrindavan, is controlled by his devotees and is completely conquered by his devotees. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, we can take them. Yes, probably. I think the other mic is not working. I'll repeat the question.
First of all, congratulations, Bhakti Vedant, Ketan, from PJS. Recently, you were awarded Bhakti Vedant title, and we have studied from the class. This same class was given on 1st December 2012 by Devam Swami.
Jai Haribo.
And he mentioned the same thing, Ajit Gita Samam Bhakti, how Lord is conquered by the devotees. And same thing we've seen in the pastime of Gopi Heat. All the devotees, all the gopis, they just want to see his face of Krishna. They are doing all the 19 verses in the 33rd chapter of 10th century. And they are all just praying that somehow Krishna come and show us. This is for love.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Prabhupada. Yes. Hare Krishna. By, sorry? Yeah, so the question is, by the Vedas we, as I mentioned, by the Vedas we cannot understand Krishna. Vedesu durlabham, adurlabham atma bhakto. So by the Vedas we cannot understand Krishna. But again in Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, Vedaisha sarvar aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda ved eva chaham. So I'm by the Vedas I am to be known, and I am the knower of Vedas. So Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita that. So how can we understand this two contradictory? So yes, we can understand Krishna by knowing the, by studying the Vedas, but before even studying the Vedas, we have to be a devotee. Only if you are a devotee, then you can understand the Vedas as it is. And that is why Bhagavad Gita is part of the Vedas, right? It is part of the Purana. So we understand that Bhagavad Gita is given as it is. If, and there are so many versions of Bhagavad Gita which are not as it is. So that is why if a person who is not a devotee and tries to understand Bhagavad Gita, he will give something which is not as it is. He will misinterpret the Vedas. So that is why, on one hand, yes, by studying the Vedas, Krishna is to be known, but one has to be a devotee. And as it is mentioned in this verse itself, What kind of devotee can understand or conquer Krishna? You are certainly conquered by the devotees who have control of mind and senses. So first of all, one has to be a devotee, and second, he has to have control of mind and senses, and then he can understand Krishna. Because we can go on this topic forever. Lord Brahma himself says, one who says that he understands you does not understand you. In his prayers, after the Brahma Vimon Leela, he says, I thought I understood you, but sorry, Krishna, my mistake. I don't understand you. And one who says that he understands you also does not understand you. So if Lord Brahma, who is the giver of the Vedas, right, he is mentioning this, how can a person who is trying to understand or read Vedas can understand Krishna? Yeah. So, yeah, we can go on for the entire class can be on that. Yeah, and sorry, Mataji? Yeah. Yes, Mataji. Mataji is a Bhaktivedanta too. Me too, Mataji. I don't know anything.
So why did he say that? Do you think if he had said to say Krishna first,
yeah,
he
yeah. So the question is, why did Krishna told the boys to go and speak the name of Balram, not Krishna first? Because again, acharyas give two reasons why Krishna asked the boys to go and tell Balram's name. Because first of all, Balram was a Kshatriya. So then the Brahmana Kshatriya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the Brahmanas, when hearing a Kshatriya has been asked, Kshatriya is asking, they might give something. If they would have asked Krishna, Krishna's caste is not known. It's in a gray area. So they might offend Krishna. So to save the offense, Brahmanas offending Krishna, he said, better not to speak my name. Because if they offend me, they will never be able to progress in their life. So they said, okay, at least tell Balram's name. There are two reasons. Even if they offend, Balramji is a bit lenient. The offense will not be counted. And the second is, if they hear Kshatriya has asked, because Balram is a Kshatriya, has asked, they might give something. There were little bit of chances of giving for Balram. So that is why Krishna said, tell Balram's name, not my name. This is in the commentaries of Acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this. No problem. Thank you, Mother. Any other questions? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all for coming.